Welcome to Wellness Your Way. I'm your host, Megan Lyons, and I've helped thousands of people find their own way to wellness. Wellness Your Way is an extension of that work, aimed to help you find your unique path to feeling your very best. Each week, we'll go through tactical strategies you can use to improve your health, happiness, and quality of life. So grab a mug of tea or lace up your walking shoes. We're about to dive in. Welcome back to episode 179 of Wellness Your Way. I am back with another fantastic guest interview with a true pioneer in the field. This is a person that I have seen, as I'll mention, so many times at the conferences that I go to. He's always on stage. He is everywhere, and he is producing and sharing so much fantastic information and truly has been for decades. So definitely someone I look up to. His recent project, The Inflammation Equation, is what we're talking about today, based on the epidemic of inflammation that is wreaking havoc on our health collectively as a society, and the toxins that are everywhere that are contributing to this inflammation. So good news, we don't have to, nor can we, be perfect and completely eliminate everything toxic from our lifestyle. It's just truly impossible these days. But the awareness of where some of this toxicity and inflammation is coming from is incredibly important. So I hope today's interview helps you become a more educated consumer of the foods and products that you're buying, as well as just a more educated person in the way that you run your day-to-day. I am certainly not perfect in any of these regards. And again, we don't expect you to be. So don't listen to this with that lens of perfection, but do listen with a lens of what are a few things that I can do to change and improve my health. Now, with that said, let me officially introduce you to our guest. Dr. Tom O'Brien is an internationally recognized speaker focused on food sensitivities, environmental toxins, and the development of autoimmune diseases. Dr. O'Brien is considered a Sherlock Holmes for chronic disease and holds teaching faculty positions with the Institute for Functional Medicine and the National University of Health Sciences. He is the author of You Can Fix Your Brain and the Autoimmune Fix, and his recent project, The Inflammation Equation, is a free docuseries that you can sign up for at the link in the show notes. So anytime throughout this interview, I know you will be enticed. Just scroll down on whatever podcast player you are listening on and feel free to register for that free summit down there. Now let's go ahead and dive into the interview with Dr. Tom O'Brien. All right, my friends, I had to pop in to do a second bit of this intro before we dive into the content, because I always record the intro right after I do the interview with the guest. So right after I interviewed Dr. Tom O'Brien, I recorded that intro and then went on my merry way. And later that day, I was like, yeah, I do run this total tox burden test that he mentioned out of my practice. And usually it's for people for whom I really suspect a major toxicity issue. So they're having a lot of brain fog, headaches, fatigue, rashes, unexplained digestive issues, things like that. I've really only used it, to be honest, a handful of times in my practice. But why don't I practice what I preach and do the test on myself? And so I did that. I ordered the test. It is an expensive test, but I am a vast majority of my budget goes to my health, to be honest. So I was willing to do it. And I will be totally honest, because I am very careful about my exposure. I think compared to the average person, I would consider myself much more careful. But I was shocked by the results. I had BPA from plastics. I had glyphosate from who knows what conventional produce. I try to buy organic, but even then, sometimes it has been shown to have glyphosate on it. And I am not perfect and don't believe anyone needs to be perfect. I had aflatoxins, which definitely means I'm eating too much peanut butter. I had several other toxic exposures in me. And so I know I don't feel poorly. I don't have any of the symptoms that I mentioned earlier, but I don't want those things to be building up in myself. So I put myself on a very gentle detox supplement protocol. I'm going to do sauna hopefully every week for a couple of months, something like that. Nothing drastic. I'm not doing some kind of major cleanse or anything like that. But I did think it was really eye-opening to do the test on myself. So now you better believe that when the inflammation equation comes out, which will now be in about a week or so, and you can use my link in the show notes to register for that summit for free, I will be listening right alongside you. Okay, now that we've done two whole intros, let's get into the interview with Dr. Tom O'Brien. Thank you so much, Dr. Tom O'Brien, for coming on Wellness Your Way. I am truly excited to have you here.
Oh, thank you. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Of course. Well, like I told you before we started recording, I have seen you numerous times in person. I feel like almost every conference I go to, you are speaking, for which I'm very grateful. But for the audience who doesn't know you yet, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. Let's see. I guess what's important is that I'm on the teaching faculty of the Institute for Functional Medicine. I have been for almost 12 years now, and my area of expertise is teaching doctors about the gut and the role the gut plays. And it's just so cool. You know, when you start to learn this, it becomes obvious what you have to do to be healthy. You know, we know that for every one message from the brain going down, telling the gut what to do, there are 9 messages from the gut going up, telling the brain what to do. So who's the boss here, right? It really is all disease begins in the gut. And research papers out of Harvard are saying that now. And that's actually the title of a paper by the chief of pediatric gastroenterology. All disease begins in the gut, in the leaky gut. That's my expertise, is teaching about the gut. And I started off teaching about the dangers of wheat and gluten. And it was 11 years ago that we did the Gluten Summit. It was the first online summit ever. And we just made it up. We didn't know what we were doing. And I just went around the world interviewing the greats. My first interview ever was Professor Michael Marsh at Oxford. And if you're a gastroenterologist and you order an endoscopy biopsy, I mean, a tube goes down with a camera and is looking around in your gut, the report will say Marsh 1, Marsh 2, Marsh 3. This was Marsh. This was the godfather of all of it. And it was my first interview. And he was just so kind and took me around Oxford arm in arm and said, Tom, that's where I stood on stage in 1962 and received my medical degree. And I said, that's wonderful, professor, and things like that. But we put this thing together and we had 118,000 people that attended. And my friends called and said, how did you do that? I mean, Mark Hyman and Deanna Minnick and Isabella Wenz, how did you do that? And I said, I don't know. We just made it up. I don't know. You know, my team would call and say, we have a problem here and here. And I said, well, I don't know what to do about that. That's why I hired you guys. Figure it out. And they did. They did. And so my team came to me and said, Doc, your friends all want to do summits. We should start a company. And I said, no, it's not my passion, but you guys go ahead. I mean, if you want, with my blessing, you go ahead. That was the start of a company called Health Talks Online. And they have hosted the vast majority of summits in the last 11 years, and tens of millions of people have been helped, you know. And I feel really good that we had, you know, we kind of started all of that. And so lots of people have been guided on their way. But I'm not a professional videographer and documentarian. It's not my thing. And so now we're doing another one. And this one is called The Inflammation Equation, Decoding the Path to Optimal Well-Being. And it took me 3 months to come up with the title because I didn't know how to get the point across in the title. And it's a geeky title. I know it's a geeky title, but you know, there are so many things that we should be doing. We all know we should do this and we should do that. And people don't know where to begin and, you know, how to start. So we're decoding all of that, trying to put it into simple everyday language. And the bottom line is that the Center for Disease Control tells us that 14 of the 15 top causes of death are chronic inflammatory diseases. Everything except unintentional injuries is a chronic inflammatory disease, meaning it's been around for a long time before you ever have a symptom. When you think you're fine, you're not. And well, no, I'm fine. No, you're not. And when you do the proper testing to look and see what's not functioning right, it's an OMG again and again. And people just don't know until you see the evidence. And then it's, oh my God, I had no idea. Wow. So this could cause problems when I get pregnant? Absolutely. Absolutely. And so we've interviewed now over 60 of the world leaders. I mean, I've gone to Israel and Spain and England and Italy and Brazil, interviewing the world leaders in this research about where does inflammation come from? And so we've put it together in a way that I think is really understandable and not just a download of gloom and doom, but rather, what do you do about it? How do you get started? How do you ask the questions as to, do I have a problem with inflammation? And then if so, what do I do about it? How do I deal with this? So that's what we're doing now. And you're kind enough to have me on today to talk about that. It affects every single person. And when you know, when you understand, let me give you an example. Chicago, 2016. A research paper came out where they looked at 326 pregnant women, and they did urine tests in the 8th month of pregnancy. And they measured phthalates, 5 phthalates. Now, phthalates are a category of chemicals used to mold plastic. And the one that most of us have heard of is BPA, bisphenol A, BPA. And they checked BPA and 4 others. I mean, there are many, many, but they just checked 5. And what they found was that, well, they put them into fourths, the lowest fourth, the next, the third, and the highest. Then they followed the offspring of those pregnancy for 7 years. And when the children turned 7 years old, they did Wechsler IQ tests, and the official IQ test. And it was startling because it was every child. And there's not much in medicine that's all or every, but this was every child whose mother was in the highest category of phthalates in urine in pregnancy, which meant that the phthalates are in the bloodstream, they're in the amniotic fluid, baby who's swimming in this soup inside of mom's tummy is the amniotic fluid, that the phthalates are there. Those in the highest category, their IQ at 7 years old was 7 points less. 6.7 to 7.4 points less. Every one of them. Now, that doesn't mean anything to anyone until you understand a 1 point difference in IQ is noticeable. A 7 point difference is the difference between a child working really hard, getting straight A's in school, and a child working really hard, getting straight C's in school. Mm. That this child doesn't have a chance in hell of ever excelling. Now just go to Google and type in phthalates and neurogenesis, brain cell growth. And here come the studies. The higher the phthalates, the more inhibition for your brain cells to grow. So when mom is high in phthalates, baby is at risk. Now, every child whose mom was in the highest category, baby's at risk of their brains not developing completely to their full potential, whatever that potential might be. And that's, and so, okay, moms, well, I don't have any phallic. Really? Do you drink out of plastic bottles? You know, we just learned recently, a study came out 4 weeks ago, new technology, laser technology, and they've identified. So we've all worried about microplastics in our food and in our water, in our air. But now they can identify nanoplastics, which is much, much, much less. And they found in the three major brands of water, in 1 liter of water, the average amount was 240,000 nanoparticles of plastic in 1 liter. And we're supposed to drink 2 to 3 liters a day. Mm-hmm. And if you're trying to be healthy and avoid the bad water coming out of your tap, you buy bottled water. And if it's in plastic bottles, you're getting poisoned. And those nanoplastics go into your brain. And they cause inflammation in your brain. They go into your kidneys. They go into your lungs. And they cause inflammation wherever they go. So that's one source of phthalates that affect mom's level and a baby's brain development. Nail polish. It's phthalates that make the nail polish hard. And they're in your bloodstream in 4 to 5 minutes when you apply nail polish. But there's no evidence that the amount of phthalates in the nail polish is toxic to humans. There's no evidence of that. But these phthalates are accumulative in your body. And over the years, give me a 5-year-old girl painting her 10 little fingers and 10 little toes for 20 years. And now she's 25, 30 years old, married, gets pregnant, hopefully has a healthy pregnancy and a healthy delivery and a beautiful baby. But baby's brain didn't develop properly. And so that is just one example of many, many examples of we talk to the scientists and then we talk about how do you get phthalates out of the body. And, you know, so we're giving the big picture so people get startled. OMG, I didn't know this. Wow. But then we tell you what it is you can do and go back to your healthcare practitioner and ask them to do this test. Or this test, which is not common because insurance won't pay for it. But insurance doesn't pay to keep you healthy. Insurance pays to get you out of the hospital as quickly as possible so their expenses are low. Yes. Right? So.
Oh, my goodness. So many great nuggets in that information. And I'd really love to go back to some of these root causes. But I know the audience is chomping at the bit for two things. First thing is water. You said very clearly, tap water is not the goal. Plastic bottled water is not the goal. I have my own preference on where I get my water and the glass that I drink it out of. But I'd love to hear how you source your water.
Well, I'd like to ask you, is that a plastic straw that you're using?
No.
Exactly.
Glass. Yes.
Exactly.
You can clink it.
Exactly. It's the little things you do that make the biggest difference. Yeah. The little things you do. So our water, we live in the jungle. We're in Costa Rica. And so it's groundwater.
Great.
And so we have a full house air water filtration system. And then an extra water filtration system on top of that under the kitchen sink. So we've got the spigot that comes out. So we get our coffee water and our cooking water, drinking water from the extra spigot. But our shower water, our toothbrushing water is also being filtered.
That's next level. I like that. And is it a reverse osmosis filter or what kind of filter?
Yeah, it's reverse osmosis, charcoal granulation, and 2-micron filter.
Oh, love it. And then are you adding back in minerals when you drink it?
You know, because the reverse osmosis takes out the metals, the heavy metals, and also takes out the minerals, your water becomes mineral deficient.
Right.
But you're not supposed to depend on water for your minerals.
Okay,
it's supposed to be coming from your food. Right?
Okay.
So yeah, we take some multivitamins that have minerals in them, but it's not a concern in my book because we're eating organic, we have the opportunity to eat all of our produce organic. So I know that we're getting lots of vitamins and minerals from the variety of foods we eat. One of our recommendations for people is called the gluten-free Mediterranean diet. And if you just Google gluten-free Mediterranean diet, the research paper comes up with the drawing of the pyramid in it. And this is the pyramid in general we recommend to people. Some people do really well on a paleo diet, some on a carnivore diet, some on an elimination diet. But in general principles, a gluten-free Mediterranean diet, at the bottom of that pyramid, of the food pyramid with the gluten-free Mediterranean diet, at the very bottom of it is water.
Ah, I like that.
Isn't that like you're nutritious. You went, oh.
Yes. I was sure you would say vegetables, which is the bottom of every pyramid that I've drawn. But now I will change mine to have water at the bottom. That's fantastic.
Exactly. That's what I did too. When I read this study that came out of Italy, I said, oh my gosh, of course. How did I miss that? But I did, you know.
So, yes. And fantastic.
The same response. So we both had that same startle response from it. And how much water should we be drinking? Well, it depends. It depends on what we're doing. That the concept of the water is, in general principles, a third of an ounce per pound body weight, a third of an ounce per pound body weight. But if you are sweating a lot because you're doing infrared saunas or steam saunas or saunas in general to help with detoxification, you're losing more water. And so for those people, it goes up to, or if you're exercising a lot and you're sweating, it goes up to a half ounce per pound. So if you weigh 150 pounds, that's between 50 and 75 ounces of water a day. So that's between 6 to 9 8-ounce glasses of water a day. Six, not one, not two. Yeah, I drink a lot of water, Doc. I probably drink two glasses a day. No. You're dehydrated.
Yes.
And if you want to know if you're dehydrated, just grab the back of your skin, pinch it. And if it doesn't flop right back down right away, you're dehydrated.
Yes.
You know, it's just a simple little thing you can do. But water is critically important because it escorts out the bad stuff.
Yes.
And it's not just that we have to put the good stuff in, we have to take the bad stuff out.
Yeah.
And if you can't get rid of it because you're dehydrated, well, I'm not dehydrated, I feel fine. Really, pinch your skin.
Uh-huh.
Start
drinking water, and then you'll realize after,
Yes,
I didn't feel great. That afternoon energy slump, I didn't need to have that. Those cravings, that dry mouth, that whatever, I didn't need to have all that.
That's what
happens most times to me when people say they don't feel it, then they realize after.
That's a really good point, really good point. So in the pyramid above the water, the next is, as you thought, fruits and vegetables. And they have to be moving in the direction of organic. They can't be, I eat fresh fruits and vegetables. Unfortunately, so in the Journal of the American Medical Association, they published a study in 2019 of couples going to assisted fertility centers. Lots of people in your age bracket are doing that now, right? And as you may know, if you've had some friends do that, they're spending tens of thousands of dollars to try to have a pregnancy and a healthy pregnancy and a delivery and start a family. It's a beautiful thing. They're spending a lot of money. Well, they published this study from Harvard, and the editors of the journal said, this is an elegant study using sophisticated biomarkers to prove their point. Now, the editors of the journal, the American Medical Association, don't say that very often. They don't give stamps of approval like that, right? So, okay, this is a really good study. Okay. They ruled out all of the known risk factors for success or failure with implantation. alcohol, cigarette smoking, exercise, no exercise, socioeconomic class, race. They ruled all of that out in an elegant way. And they looked at one thing. How many servings of fruits and vegetables is the woman eating a day? Well, we all know the answer to that, don't we? No, we don't. Because they divided those women into fourths, the lowest, the next, the third, and the highest. And those in the highest category of fruit and vegetable consumption, compared to those in the lowest category of fruit and vegetable consumption, those in the highest category had an 18% less likelihood of successful implantation. Wait, what? The more fruits and vegetables I eat, the less likely I'm going to be successful getting pregnant? That's true. And if they did get pregnant, they had a 26% less likelihood of a live birth. They lost the baby to miscarriages or stillbirths 26% more often than the women that ate very few fruits and vegetables. That's like, what? And this is in the Journal of the American Medical Association, and the editors of the journal said, this is an elegant study using sophisticated biomarkers. You can't argue with the study. And it came from Harvard. You can't argue with the study. But here's the good news. There was a subgroup of women eating organic. Mm-hmm. And in that category, it was the exact opposite.
Yeah.
The more fruits and vegetables you ate, the better the outcome.
Yeah.
But what does that mean? It means it's the chemicals on the fruits and vegetables that we're all eating today. Every time you go to a restaurant, if it's not organic, then there's pesticides, insecticides, fungicides, rodenticides, antibiotics on these foods. And this, what I'm about to tell you, is my opinion. Nothing else I'm telling you is my opinion, but this is. I think the most sensitive tissue in the human body is a fertilized egg.
Mm.
It doesn't have a defense system. It's dependent on the mother.
Right.
But if mom is so toxic with chemicals in her body creating inflammation, the immune system trying to protect you is fighting these assault of the chemicals in the carrots that you're eating or in the tomato sauce that you're eating for the pasta, then that fertilized egg is the most sensitive tissue.
Yes.
And here's the good news in all of this. Those women were put in the category of eating organic if they were eating organic 3 times a week.
Oh, wow. That's not very much.
Not 21 times a week. 3 times a week. Right. And probably it's because, you know, if you're eating organic whenever you can, you bought organic shampoo, you're using organic soaps at home, you know, you probably are on the path of moving in the direction of more organic.
Yeah. That's fantastic. And I don't refute at all the idea that the organic people had better outcomes, first of all, and the more vegetables that they ate, organic vegetables, the better. What surprises me about the study is in the group that was not eating organic, I would assume what they were eating that was not vegetables and fruit was wheat-based products sprayed with glyphosate and a bunch of other, who knows what, artificial ultra-processed foods. So I feel like it's a trade-off between two things that are harmful. What do you think about that?
Well, that's an interesting premise. And you're right. For those women that were not eating organic at all, what were they eating? Or for those that were not eating fruits and vegetables very much, what were they eating?
Right.
They're eating fast food. You know, they're eating packaged food. They're eating convenient food, which there are so many problems with that. And you're absolutely right about wheat. That is the most toxic food for every human.
Yeah.
Without exception, every human fights wheat, whether you feel it or not. There are 36 centers in Italy designated by the government as centers of excellence for wheat-related disorders.
Mm.
Meaning, if you go to your doctor in Italy and they think you've got a problem with wheat, they send you to one of these clinics And you go there for confirmation, because if you are confirmed from one of these centers of having a wheat-related disorder, your food's a tax deduction.
And oh, so, wow.
So there's 36 centers around the country, mostly gastroenterology and some pediatric and some psychiatric. And they, as a group, they looked at 5,000 patients who had been referred to them. So that means these people had a problem. They went to their doctor couldn't fix them or recommended they go see the gastroenterologist. The gastroenterologist, or a pediatrician, but they went to these centers of excellence, and they got the diagnosis there of a wheat-related disorder. So those people, 7% of them were celiac.
Mm.
93% were not. They were non-celiac gluten sensitivity, and which means you can't determine celiac or non-celiac as the factor that says whether you have a problem with wheat.
Right.
It's not true. Of course, celiac is very important to test for, and if you have celiac, you're squeaky clean with wheat for the rest of your life. Absolutely. That's necessary. But most of these people, they didn't have celiac. They had brain symptoms or skin symptoms. They had psoriasis, or they had Hashimoto's thyroid disease. And when they go on a gluten-free diet, they get better. They get better.
Yes. And I'm so glad to hear you say that. And of course, my selection of guests is biased towards that. But it will never not be frustrating to me when I have a client with diagnosed Hashimoto's or ulcerative colitis or you name it, something where I am certain that a gluten-free diet will help them. And then their gastroenterologist says, no, your ulcerative colitis has nothing to do with what you're eating.
Yeah.
It just still blows my mind that we're still in that place.
Right. That's pretty archaic. And those doctors just haven't embraced the science. There's hundreds of studies. Professor Yehuda Schoenfeld from Tel Aviv, Israel, one of the people we interviewed, that I interviewed, to get a sense of who this guy is, when medical doctors go back to school to get their PhDs in immunology, Tel Aviv University is one of the famous places in the world that they go to. They've had hundreds of doctors who have graduated and got with their PhD in immunology. 26 of them chair departments of immunology in medical schools and hospitals around the world. They're his students. They're Schoenfeld students. This is the godfather. He published a paper in March of 2022, Benefits of a Gluten-Free Diet in Non-Celiac Autoimmune Disease. And he looked at 28 autoimmune diseases, Hashimoto's thyroid disease, ulcerative colitis, cardiomyositis, lupus, multiple sclerosis, scleroderma, 28 diseases. And he did a literature review and looked at over 80 studies. And he said that 79.5% of the people got better on a gluten-free diet. These are non-celiacs. And this was confirmed in 63.5% of the studies. So not every study and not every person, but more than half the time, they get better on a gluten-free diet. And this is from the godfather of autoimmunity. You can't argue with this. You know, there are just too many. Well, you can if you want, but then.
Yes.
But you're
very interesting.
Climbing up the wrong tree.
Yes. So we have this information about organics. We have this information about gluten. When we're going back and thinking about your summit as inflammation kind of as this big topic, what are one or two other root causes that you see contributing to inflammation?
Number one, well, first you have to understand inflammation is not bad for you. Excessive inflammation is bad for you. Inflammation is just when your immune system gets activated. This is what happens. It creates inflammation. And Mrs. Patient, your immune system is the armed forces in your body. It's there to protect you. There's an army, a navy, an air force, a marines, a coast guard, We call them IgA, IgG, IgE, IgM, cytokines. They're just there to protect you. Different branches get called out depending on what the threat is. But when you have excess inflammation, the million-dollar question is, what is your immune system trying to protect you from? That, I mean, you know, it's just so basic and so simple. It's not the immune system going crazy and you have to shut it down, which sometimes you have to reduce symptoms. You need to, like, take some short-term action to reduce symptoms. Not saying that you don't use medication when it's needed. Of course you do, but it's not a deficiency of the medication that's causing the problem, right? So why is your immune system activated is the million-dollar question. And the most common source activating inflammation, the most common environmental trigger activating inflammation is what's on the end of your fork. Almost always. That because we don't feel bad when we eat a food, we don't think there's a problem with it. But we know the science is very clear, like with celiacs, the ratio is 8 to 1. For every one celiac that has gut symptoms, well, wait, this is a disease of the gut, isn't it? Well, yes. But for every one patient that has gut symptoms, there are 8 that do not. They have psoriasis or eczema or acne. They have hair loss. They have thyroid dysfunction. They have ulcerative colitis. They don't have gut symptoms. You know, they don't get bloated. They don't have gas. They have joint symptoms. They have MS. So the ratio is 8 to 1. So if you think because you eat a food and you don't feel sick in your stomach after you eat it, that it's okay and it's safe, wrong. Unfortunately, sorry, but wrong. Wrong. So you have to do the right kind of testing. So in the inflammation equation, we talk about the different tests that are out there and which ones are the really good ones that you can count on and which ones are not and why not? How come you can't count on them? Because doctors don't know this. They believe that when they order a test from the laboratory or from the hospital, this is going to tell us the truth. Well, unfortunately, those tests, the sensitivity and specificity on most of those tests is somewhere between 70 and 85%, meaning it's wrong 15 to 30% of the time, completely wrong. But new technology has come out, and we talk a lot about it. The new technology, and I love this analogy, you know, if I were to say to you that, Megan, you know, back in 1990, I think you were born in 1990.
I was 5, yes.
Okay, good. So I couldn't really say this to you at 5 years old, but I think you understand what I mean. If I were to say, you know, in 25 years or so, 30 years, I'm going to have this little black thing in my hand, kind of the size of my wallet. And if I just run my thumb across it, and I can tell you within 5 seconds that the air particulate matter in Chicago today is 24. That's pretty good. It's a good thing, good day to exercise outside. San Diego's 26, but look out, San Antonio, Texas is at 78. Do not exercise outside today in San Antonio. In other words, I've got the information of the world in my hand, and I can pull it up in seconds. If I had told you that in 1990, you would have thought I was watching too much Star Trek.
Yes.
We couldn't imagine. It's beyond our scope of imagining what we'd have today compared to the cutting edge technology of 1990. That same concept is true in laboratory medicine. And the tests that your doctors are ordering are from laboratories that have been in operation for many, many years. And many of these tests are from 1990s, the early 2000s. They're okay tests, but the technology has changed so much that they're outdated and they're wrong 2 or 3 out of 10 times, completely wrong. Well, the new technology called silicone chip technology is right on the money every single time. So you do these tests that are called the zoomers, because you zoom in on the problem and you get accurate information about what's going on in your body right now, independent of how you feel. Because remember, 14 of the 15 top causes of death are chronic inflammatory diseases. They've been around for years, and you never knew. You never knew. So
that's right.
We talk a lot about the tests, and depending on the condition, what tests are really good tests to do? And here, download this information about the tests. Take it to your doctor. Ask them to order the tests for you, because these are the tests that are much more accurate. Then you see what's cooking inside, right? So that's our goal.
I'm so glad you're doing this, because I run the Zoomers out of my practice as well. And they're great tests. It's just that people don't know about these things. And your platform is so large. You're going to open people's eyes to all of these tests, hopefully bring the price down in the future and make it more accessible and make it so you don't have to jump through 18 hoops to get these tests. That's really fantastic. So thank you for that. I appreciate
it. Thank you. Yes, it's really a pleasure. And when these tests came out, Mayo Clinic's first article on them was in January of 2016. And I was jumping for joy. I said, what? 97 to 100% accuracy? It's called sensitivity and specificity. Really? Where is this? So I called the lab. I found out the name of the lab that Mayo Clinic was writing the tests about. And I said, I need to speak to the president. So this guy gets on the line and he says, hi, this is Dr. Tom O'Brien. He said, the Tom O'Brien? I said, I don't know. If it's about gluten, maybe. Yeah, okay. Yes, yes. How can I help? Is this your test? Yes. Is this accurate? Yes. I need to understand this. Oh, please come visit. Please, doctor, please come visit. So the next week I went to Silicon Valley to look at this laboratory, and I was blown away. You have to put a spacesuit on, literally, a spacesuit to go in the lab, because it's dust free. You know, it's silicon chip technology, and you can't have anything. And they can check 6,000 markers with one blood draw.
Oh my goodness.
Now they don't. They don't, you know, but they could. And the accuracy is like nothing before in history. So finally, we're able to get accurate information about what's cooking in someone's body. Now, Megan, I want to tell you, this is so important. And I'll tell you why. Blue Cross Blue Shield published an article in February of 2020. And they said, we got a problem here. But because that virus came out at the same time, no one paid attention to the Blue Cross Blue Shield article. But in the previous four-year period, the diagnosis of Alzheimer's went up 407% in 4 years in 30 to 44-year-olds.
Wow. Oh, my goodness.
That's you.
Yeah, that is
And your followers. Mm-hmm. It went up in a four-year period, not 10%, not 20%, which would be bad enough. Every autoimmune disease is going up 4 to 9% a year every year, and that's really bad. But 407% in a couple of in 4 years. Why? Because your generation was born from moms who already were getting really toxic like no one before in history with these accumulated chemicals in their body. And then as your generation grew up, you're accumulating more of these chemicals, and they get stored in your body. You have to test for this. The test is called the total tox burden by the same laboratory. And when you do these tests, you go, oh my God, I've got so much mold in my body, mold metabolites. Where did that come from? And then you check and you have an expert come in and your home's full of mold. And then you learn how it affects your brain, and that 60 to 65% of all Alzheimer's is inhalation Alzheimer's. It's what you're breathing that's going right up your nostrils directly to the brain, causing inflammation in the memory center of your brain, which is killing off brain cells, killing off brain cells, killing off brain cells. So if you're living in a moldy house or you have a little mold on your shower curtain, oh, it's not too bad. You know, it's not too bad. You know, I'm a guy. I'm a 27-year-old guy. Yeah, there's a little black stuff there, and that's not too bad. I'm, you know, it doesn't bother me. Well, just wait a few years.
Yeah.
And after you've killed off enough brain cells, you know, it's like, wake up, guys and gals, wake up, wake up. This world is not, it's not fair that this is the world that you've been brought into. You're supposed to have been brought into a pristine planet Earth, not a toxic planet Earth, but it's toxic. And those chemicals, you know, the last time the government published on how many chemicals are coming into the country every year was 2010.
What?
And when they published that, the journal Pediatrics wrote an article, said, this is a big problem. We have failed our children. And there was a lot of hullabaloo about this report from the EPA, because they told us it was 27 trillion pounds of chemicals being manufactured or imported into the United States every year. So I took that number, 27 trillion, and I divided it by 365 days and by 350, whatever the population is of the U.S., 350 million. And that's 247 pounds per person per day.
Wow.
So that means the flame retardant chemicals on that chair that's just to your right behind you.
Yes.
The formaldehyde on the desk, if it's not solid wood, it's pressboard, and pressboard is soaked in formaldehyde. The flame retardant chemicals in the clothing that we all wear, and the sleeping clothing we wear, and in the sheets and the blankets we put over us, and they're outgassing flame retardant chemicals in the air all night long, and you're breathing it in. You can't smell it, you can't taste it, but you're breathing this stuff in, and it just keeps accumulating and accumulating and accumulating. And so your generation is at the highest risk of any generation ever in history. And unfortunately, the World Health Organization now tells us that children born today have an expected lifespan 2 years less than their parents' expected lifespan. Kids will live 2 years less than you will, because of all of these toxins that we're surrounded by all the time. Just think about the artificial insemination study that we talked about.
Yes.
The more vegetables you eat, conventional vegetables, the worse the outcome. The more miscarriages, the more failures of implantation. But you're eating lots of fruits and vegetables, which is supposed to be good for you. Yes, but what you're eating is not fruits and vegetables. They're frankenfoods.
Yes,
they're damaged. They're loaded with chemicals. That's why you have to go organic. Or if you can't get organic, you go get the spray wash to wash your veggies with. And like Truly Free, the company Truly Free is great. Their products, you know, you buy conventional broccoli, it looks green, it's okay. But you spray half of it with this veggie wash and you dip it in water and shake it one time and lift it out. All of a sudden, the sprayed part is just bright green, and you see, oh, this other part's got wax on it. I didn't notice the wax before because the whole thing was like that. And you see this stuff, and then you start to understand what we're up against. So we don't want to overwhelm people. So every day we've got 8 or 10 experts. So 6 minutes of this expert, 4 minutes of this one, 9 minutes of this one. And then we're asking the question, so what do you do about this? What do you do? And then we talk about, how do you detox? What foods do you select? What kind of a environment? Why houseplants are so important in your house? And so we want to give you the guidance. First, we have to wake you up. We have to wake you up so you say, oh my gosh, I didn't know this. I didn't know that. I didn't know this. I didn't know this. Oh, I didn't know this. And then it's like, what do I do? Well, here's what you do. Here's the handout on glass storage containers. Because plastic storage containers in your kitchen for leftover food, the phthalates are in the food the next morning. You put chicken in a leftover storage container in the refrigerator, the next day you take chicken out, it's got phthalates on it. didn't have phthalates yesterday, but it's from the plastic. And so we give you the URLs for glass storage containers, so you can go get glass storage containers, right?
Amazing.
Just all these little things that we all have to learn. Here's three organic nail polish companies and cosmetic companies, so you can find safer products. You know, the average woman, you know better than I do, it's somewhere around 160 to 180 chemicals a woman
too many.
Putting on every day.
Mm-hmm.
Men, it's about 120 between the shampoo, the deodorant, the shaving cream, the soap, and the conditioner. We're putting all these chemicals on us that get absorbed into your body. And because they don't make you sick when you're using them, we think they're okay.
Absolutely. You've painted the picture so well for the uphill battle that we're facing. And I am 100% sure that everyone will want to go to the link in the show notes that we'll put for the summit. I would love for you to tout the summit just one more time as we close. But before we do, leave the audience with one bit of hope. What's one thing that you do every day that feels fun to you, or a food you like, or something that really helps reduce inflammation that can be uplifting for the audience?
Oh, sure, sure. Well, you know, I'm traveling right now. We're finishing the interviews. I just interviewed Fran Drescher yesterday.
Great.
The nanny. I don't know if you know the show, The Nanny.
Yes.
She's wonderful. And she got cancer. She got uterine cancer. And she realized that she said, why? And I was like, why? Why am I that? You know, that New York accent of hers. And then she laughs about it. But she's a 22-year survivor now.
Amazing.
And that's unheard of for that type of cancer, because she cleaned up her home. And I was laughing, you know, we came into her home and her assistant welcomed us and gave us little blue booties to put on our shoes, to cover our shoes. So you don't bring the toxic outside world in her house.
Mm.
And when she sat down and, you know, I gave her a hug, you know, we're friends. And I said, Fran, you are the only person I know other than me that gives anyone who comes into my house booties. I either give them some slippers to put on, or we're barefoot in the house, or booties for their shoes if they want to keep their shoes on. Except workers. I don't give workers booties, you know, little slippers or something. I give them the blue covers to put on their boots. You know, they got these tie-up boots and all that. And I said, you're the only person other than me that I know that does that. She went, ah! You know, with that laugh of hers. But that's, you learn the little things that protect you and protect your family. So I'm in Traverse City, Michigan right now. And last night we went to restaurant for dinner, a nice restaurant. And I looked at the menu and I know, oh, it's all conventional produce. There's no organics here, right? Okay, so what am I going to do? Ah, I'm going to order, let's see. So what did I order? I ordered not mussels, scallops. I ordered scallops, but a side order of Brussels sprouts and a side order of broccoli, because Brussels sprouts and broccoli have the ingredients that support your liver's detoxing, breaking down chemicals. And so I ordered some foods that I mean, they're good foods. They just have these chemicals on them. But these foods help your liver to break down these toxic chemicals that we're exposed to. And so did I balance it to zero? I don't know. I don't know. But I know that I helped minimize the potential toxicity of this beautiful food I was eating by doing these little things that I had learned. And what we emphasize in the event is that the goal is progress, not perfection.
Yeah.
It's progress. And, you know, whenever I sign a book, it's always the same. I ask them their name, and I write their name down, and then I say, base hits win the ball game.
Yeah.
Everybody wants a home run. You know, oh, I'm going for the home run. I'm going to lose 20 pounds in 3 weeks and, you know, whatever. But it's the consistent things you do every day, just a little bitty things that over time accumulatively arrest, and the language from the scientists is arrest and reverse your autoimmune diseases. So that's
I love it so much. I could not think of a better way to close us out. Thank you so much for that. And one more time, the name of the summit is?
The Inflammation Equation, Decoding the Path to Optimal Well-Being.
Amazing. We will have that link in the show notes. I hope everyone goes down there and signs up today. I know I will be watching every single session. And thank you one more time for the work that you do and for coming on our show today.
Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Well, hello there, friend. I hope you enjoyed that episode of Wellness Your Way as much as I enjoyed delivering it to you. I care so much about delivering the best quality information to you through this platform and all the work that I do. And if you're finding what you need right here from this podcast, then great. Share it with a friend because that really, really helps more people find Wellness Your Way and then move on. But if you need a little more customization and direction on how to actually take the strategies you learn here and apply them realistically to your life, then I invite you to consider a Lionshare one-to-one program. I've taken my over 10 years of experience, that's over 12,000 direct one-to-one hours with clients just like you, and I've refined my approach to get the best results for people and give you the information you actually need to build sustainable health solutions. I now have a team of amazing people, four fantastic women working for me directly, with two of them being nutritionists who help me serve you. And we are ready to serve you in 2024. You can snag a free initial consultation just to chat with me about your goals and see if you're the right fit for our programs. Just go to bit.ly/lions initial consultation, L-Y-O-N-S, initial consultation, all lowercase, no spaces, bit.ly/lions initial consultation. The link is also in the show notes for you to set up that free chat. I can't wait to talk with you soon and make 2024 your year to finally feel your realistic, sustainable, healthiest self. Thanks for listening to another episode of Wellness Your Way with Megan Lyons. I always love connecting with listeners, so be sure to follow me on social media. And don't forget to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss brand new episodes each week. If you love Wellness Your Way, please leave us a rating and review. I appreciate it so much. Stay well, and I'll be back next week. The Wellness Your Way podcast is provided for information only and should not be misconstrued as medical advice. Please consult with your physician or otherwise qualified practitioner on any matters regarding your health and well-being or on any opinions expressed within this podcast or the Lionshare website.